Hello, welcome to the Game Slate Podcast, episode 67. I'm Proteus.
I'm Scintillator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And per usual, we didn't do very much.
Yeah, that seems to be... Well, I've actually been pretty busy, just... I posted everything immediately. I post a lot of the stuff that I would normally build up over the week for a podcast on the front page of the website.
I spent 6 days in New Zealand.
But you're almost a doctor.
Almost.
Just gotta do a couple more figures... Reprint it, rebind it, and you're done. You're a doctor.
How much is it going to cost to mail that back to New Zealand?
Actually, probably not that much due to USPS flat rate packaging.
Which is actually a really great thing. Trust us, it really is. Considering how much you can cram in there for $40.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, what's the weight limit? Like 70 pounds or something?
Yeah. Yes.
It's a lot. If you've seen those boxes,
you'd have to work hard to get... It would have to be an extremely dense item. Maybe like you're shipping several bricks.
Or fruitcakes. I don't know. It would have to be very dense, though.
I was sick, so that doesn't help, nurse, because it lasted a while.
Sorry.
Lots of ailments. Yay, I'm better! Yay.
Anywho,
I think the only thing any of us actually done consistently, of course, was probably World of Warcraft. Finally hit level 85. I wasn't really trying after I got over level 84. I just kind of took my time. Mostly got there by doing dailies. Diamond tool crafting daily.
When I hit 85, it was through archaeology. I didn't kill anything from level 84 to 85. Except for, you know, level 36 mobs that decided that they tried to attack the level 84 priest.
I think that lower level mobs seem to have bigger aggro radiuses than I remember.
No, I still have to pretty much be on top of them.
Yeah, you really have to practically, like, the inside of their hitbox, basically.
They always seem to wander right into me. Like, I even avoid them, and then they wander right into me. And I'm like, I just avoided you, and now you wandered into me. What the freak?
Yeah, my response is usually... Shadowward pain, and go back to what I was doing.
Shadowward death. They're dead. In a one, basically, instant cast.
Yeah.
But now it's just making the money thing. I did buy my last level of flying. Hooray!
Go 310% flying speed.
No, I go more like 340%.
Busted paladins. Hey, we did 10%?
Yeah, that's
true. So we're at 320. Does that stack on that when I'm flight when it mounts?
Okay,
so 320. So how fast is she gonna move when
like
it?
I said 340. That's with it because it's like 310, and then I move 20% when I have Crusader's Aura up, and then the extra. 10%
oh, we already have the guild for the 10%, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that percent. I was talking about inner will.
Yeah, inner will.
Which is another 10% movement increase.
I assumed that the one that gives us increased movement speed on mounts gave us increased movement speed on mounts.
Yes. Well, inner will in general is just increased movement speed.
I was just happy that even before I bought the last level of flying, I could outfly everybody else in Oldham. I was outflying all the Alliance people to the nodes, to my mineral veins. And I wasn't even, like, purposely trying to steal them from people. I was just like, oh, there's a node, and I fly over there, and I no sooner start mining than here comes a gnome warlock, or here comes a Draenei shaman, or here comes a human death knight. And I'm just like, sorry, already here, it's gone.
My nodes are always, always stolen by druids.
In flight form, which
well, doesn't help that their flight form's instant cast.
And they don't get, they don't...
They don't have to leave flight form to harvest.
They don't have to leave flight form
to harvest. No! You'll just see this bird hovering there, and then fly off, and you're like...
That's BS.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite fair in that regard, that they don't... Like, I'm like, I get dismounted, they should get dismounted just the same. Or, how would you say that? Changed?
Shapeshifted.
Shapeshifted back? But I think I'm nitpicking
out. A bird should not have the proper dexterity to use a pickaxe.
Yeah, I did have a druid try to steal a node from me in Deep Hole. I got there before him, though.
Anywho. Now, okay, my mage just got up out of Northrend, so I was in Mount Hyjal, because I refused to leave Northrend until I had my engineering to the point where I didn't need the stuff in Northrend anymore.
Yep.
Am I the one that gets annoyed and pissed off at the insta-spawns that seem to happen after you kill somebody?
Yes!
It's weird!
Well, part of the problem is when they first released Cat, you know, everybody's there. And so they had to make it so, since, you know, you have 50 people in one spot or more, you know, they had to have the enemies respawn faster. I think sometimes the timer, you know, is funny.
Give it at least 30 seconds from the time the mob dies to the time it spawns. I mean, I'm seriously, it's like, I'm at full health, and then I'm like probably at like 10 hit points by the time I'm done because I had the same guy spawn like 3 or 4 times in a row.
Yeah, I had that problem too when I was in I had more problems with it in Hyjal than I did anywhere else.
Maybe when I leave Hyjal, I won't have that issue as much.
I just learned to, you know, make sure to pull things from my maximum range.
Well, it doesn't help in that maximum range puts you in the patrol path of something else, though.
You just have to carve yourself a little circle.
Or you just gotta start wearing plate and don't care.
Well, that doesn't work for a caster.
No, it
I doesn't. I mean, the most I do is I keep putting shields up on myself. Ice shield, mage shield, sonic shield. That's from a trinket. I have a little trinket. The picture of the trinket is a boombox. And it's like, on melee hits, it will start absorb so much damage. It has a chance to trigger a shield that absorbs damage. But the little icon for it's a boombox.
Appropriate. So yeah, I guess the only thing consistently done. I'm just going back through and finishing up zones and making money for I don't know what. Buying those jewel crafting recipes I don't have yet. They're 12,000 gold.
Ouch.
I got one, though, for free. Thank you.
I found, like, 2 or 3 drop recipes for her.
I haven't found any. I don't think I've found any special drops yet on this new character since I've been playing her. I think I might have gotten the elixir giant growth, which used to be hard to get, but now everybody sells it for, like, 90 silver on the auction house. And I'm like, wee! I remember back in the day when this one was hard to find, but I digress, because a lot of stuff was hard to find way back in the day. Doing stuff was a lot harder way back in the day. No mounts to level 40.
Regular mounts at level 40. Epic mounts at level 100, at level 60 for your 100% movement speed. And then when Burning Crusade came out, you actually didn't get your flying mount until 70, and flying actually reduced you from 100% to 60%, but you were flying. And then took, you know, the, what, 5,000 gold, so you could get to the point where you could move at a decent speed. And at that point, the person that you bought flying from wasn't associated with a faction, so there was no way to lower it like you can now.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing all the changes that we've gone through?
We were talking about this at work. There's some of the little stuff that you wouldn't think matters, but has made a load of difference. And the one that I always think about is range checkers. In original WoW, it did not tell you if you were in range of an ability, or if that ability was that if you had the mana to use the ability. You had to have add-ons for that. And then they added it so you have that little dot on each ability, or a little, or like if they're macro, the numbers, that turn, you know,
red
if you're out of range, white if you're in range. So they... It's just little stuff like that.
How about quest trackers?
Quest tracker, I mean, I don't have carbonite anymore. There's no purpose for it.
I think the auction house is a lot more easy now that I can see the individual unit cost of items and
items. Oh, that's a great one.
I think the biggest thing that everybody loves is the looking for dungeon tool. It was a pain in the ass to run to do a pug group before.
I still haven't tried the new one. I haven't tried running a dungeon.
Well, you've never used the LFG tool?
I don't like grouping with people I don't know in a tank format, because if I'm still trying to learn something, people get really angry.
Well, some people get angry. It depends on what kind of person you're with. Some people are understanding, like one of the podcasts I listen to, it's actually WoW Insider. They were talking about, it's like, this one person, they were a new tank. The guy even admitted that, but he was trying to learn to tank. I mean, you can only do that through dungeons, really. So he's like, okay, I play a tank regularly. I'll tell you what you need to do or give you or show you, and then you take on from there. It's like he had to take one boss from the guy, but after that, he did fine. Sometimes you just need to give people guidance, and other people need to respect that you're learning. But yeah, before, instead of having to go /4 for LFG, looking for one more for blah, 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 blah. And I was like, random, I'm this role. Fine, and then go do your thing, and then it'll go boing, telling you what your role is, and if it's a random, it doesn't tell you what dungeon you're going into until you get there, which in Wrath was a pain in the ass if Oculus ever came up, because you'd go into Oculus, and then 3 people would drop immediately.
Why?
People hated that dungeon. Okay. I actually kind of liked it because it was so different from all the other dungeons, but people hated it because it was so different from all the other dungeons.
I don't think I ever did it. Did I do it?
Did you ever do the one where you fight, where you choose one of the three different colored drakes and you're fighting the
big
boss?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was kind of a pain.
It was a pain, but at least it was different. It was fun, and it was challenging. Something that a lot of the heroics weren't after a while. Like, my coworkers were saying heroics are starting to become a joke now again.
Are they?
Well, they won't be for us, but...
No. As people get geared up, stuff becomes less challenging.
Exactly.
Which means that they just need to move on up to the next, you know, tier in the gear cycle.
Which is going to be nice with Zolomon and Zolgarub coming back as heroic raid encounters. Heroic dungeons. Heroic five-mans. So those of people that have never done them can now do them in a slightly modified format for new and better gear.
Whee! I never done either.
Exactly. Let's see. What else?
I don't know. I just feel weird tanking as a paladin. I don't feel like I'm special anymore. I miss my old holy shield.
I need to try healing sometime, but I'm scared.
Did you have Healbot?
No.
I would download Healbot.
I just finally put on Omen, but I haven't been doing any dungeons quite yet, so...
You don't actually really need Omen for threat anymore.
I need to see the bars. I can't just rely on when it says changing threat level or, you know, that sort of thing. I gotta see little bars.
The Blizzard one, it gives you a percentage over how much threat you have on somebody.
Yeah, but only and versus then, one target.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I could see that.
So it's very hard to... It's hard to gauge where your healer is.
No, well, my problem was mostly, you know, the cat had growl still, and I kept wondering why I was having so much trouble with the cat.
Whose cat was that?
Gildad.
You
shut it off.
There's this one mod I use called Skada, and it's my DPS meters and it's a threat meter in one. So I have it set when I'm in combat, it switches from DPS, it automatically switches from showing DPS or healing to threat, and then when I'm out of combat, it switches back.
I was happy to have second on the heal meters.
It's my shadow priest. Should I be happy I'm second on the DPS meters?
You know, I see that a lot, actually, where the tank is pretty up there, because the tank has to do a lot to the boss at times in order to keep said threat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just feel it's a lot harder for me to keep threat now. Though I keep reading all these things saying, you should have no problem keeping threat, and if you do, you're doing something wrong. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, then.
Where are you reading that at?
A lot of the Paladin tanking blogs. Like Elitist Jerks and Tank Spot and other places, because I'm trying to figure out what equipment and exactly how I can get to my avoidance cap, which is a little bit different than it used to be, but at least I understand it now. I just feel
like I'm not a real DPS class.
You're a hybrid DPS class.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Your utility. You can drop out of Shadow Forge and start giving heals if there's, you know, problems.
It required me to kind of pay attention to more than just, okay, rotation.
For my healing, I use Healbot because I can have, Shift-Control-Alt. You can have, like, multiple setups for, you know, for clicking on a person and when you're holding down what button, and their bar basically gives you a show. Viral can show you what it looks like at his house, or I can show you later.
Yeah, I've seen it before. I watched.
It's a very handy thing. In fact, I keep it active on my mage and my death knight, too, because it also allows me to monitor how good my pet's doing. And my warlock, it's really handy. It's like, oh, crap. Health funnel!
That is one of the things I noticed that they adapt to the interface is that they show what healing is incoming on people, which is useful to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because before,
my heals are, like, awful, though. I've tried to heal myself back up after encounters. I'm just, like, you know, healed as, like a little tiny sliver.
How about me? Well, also, I have, like, 130,000 hit points. You know how hard it is to heal?
Keep in mind, they don't expect people to heal people to full anymore. They expect people to heal people to where they'll survive until they can sit down and eat something. I mean, priests, I think Blizzard said this before, although don't quote me on where. They're not meant to be the infinite mana pools that they were in Wrath. Their thing is not to heal through. Their thing is for other people to avoid taking damage in the first place.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons that I think for me changed with Block. Block used to, you know, do a lot more damage mitigation than what I think it does now. And it's one reason why they moved Holy Shield to just be a percentage of Block and not do damage. per, like, block. It's all about the mitigation. They, like, gizmo, you know, it's like 13% dodge or 13% parry, and then as much mastery as you can stack so you can get a lot of block, because mastery is my best bet.
Hey, at least if you get a piece of gear that's almost perfect, you can just reforge it.
Yeah, I haven't reforged anything yet because I haven't really gotten anything dungeon drop-wise that...
I was going to say, there's no real points yet.
Yeah, because the one piece I could have gotten got taken from me by a DPS Death Knight. Thank you, DPS Death Knight. Pastages.
I remember that one. Anywho, so moving on, because that's about 15 minutes of World of Warcraft.
We didn't do much else this week.
Well, in kind of news, the 3DS launched today / last night, recording on Sunday, and... apparently people liked it. I haven't actually seen any sales numbers yet.
I can't afford to buy one because we're trying to buy a house. House trumps 3DS by a lot. Eventually, maybe. I don't have an extra $500 sitting around for a system and a couple of games right now.
You're just waiting for a Zelda game.
Well, they are redoing Ocarina of Time for it.
June, they redid Ocarina of Time in 3D.
Did they kind of improve? Did they facelift the graphics at all?
Yes,
or just...
they did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did they? Because a lot of the things I've been seeing just seem like they're like, here, we're just plastering the screenshot for the 64 again.
Well, remember, obviously one of the things that's going to make it look more impressive is the 3D. But they can't show that in a press release. There is no way they could possibly make you understand how good, if it's going to look good in 3D... through any marketing ad, except for somebody that has a 3D TV. Because there's no way to show that. And it's like, in the last year at E3, and people are like, okay, now we know this doesn't look good on our thing. Our cameras can't show you how this looks without glasses, because you need two eyes to interpret it. The cameras are monoscopic in all senses, and not stereoscopic, like you need to understand this. So there's no way marketing can actually... show you how a 3DS actually will work.
It's kind of probably makes it rather difficult to market. You know, it's like, just believe us, it's 3D and cool. Well, trust us.
Basically, what has to happen is these things have to be in demo stations for people to actually use. Like when you go into Best Buy, they got the 3D TV with the glasses that you try to put on your eyes, and you're like, God damn, the stupid thing they have the glasses tied to is heavy.
But you don't have to have glasses for the 3DS.
No, you don't.
That's what makes it special.
You just have to find the sweet spot directly in the center.
Oh, I was playing Harvest Moon a bit.
So Rune Factory.
But a really old one.
You're playing Rune Factory, not Harvest Moon. You're
it's still pretty old, though.
Well, the one for the DS is not that old.
It's a couple of years.
That's not... okay, we bought it. I bought it when we came home the first time, and that was in 2008, and it had just gotten released a few months before that.
Yeah, it's 2011.
It's not that old. Okay.
3 years in video game time is actually kind of old.
3 months is, that's kind of old. I'm like.
Yeah. Okay, so I had borrowed Metroid Prime the other end from a coworker that came out in August. Well, I played it for a bit, put it down, didn't go back to it for a little bit. Well, I went to try to go back to it yesterday, and it's doing a little recap of everything I did. I tried to skip it twice, and the game froze. So then I let it complete, tried to continue it, and the game froze, and then it froze again on that screen. Screw it, I'm not starting over. I've heard the story on this game is crap, so I don't care anyways. I'm gonna just take it back to him.
At some point I got No More Heroes and played through like the first level, and then I've not gone back to it since. It was cause like, this is really weird.
But I thought it was fun.
It was fun, it was just really weird. Here, give me coconuts.
Ah, the jobs.
Here's some coconuts, please don't hurt me.
Those were weird. Anywho, other stuff. I went and saw Sucker Punch yesterday. It's a fun movie. Like I was telling these two earlier, the way me and my coworkers decided to describe it is it's a movie with a girl dressed like Sailor Moon with a samurai sword fighting clockwork Nazis, dragons with mecha. Well, clockwork Nazis and dragons, not clockwork Nazi dragons. Because that would suck.
I don't get to talk to anything about this with my coworkers, because I'm the youngest one at the office.
I knew that feeling when, you know, the entire majority of my life I worked for my parents. It's like, there's me! Everybody else is like 10, 20 years on top of me.
Well, wasn't so bad at Frog Prince, because, you know, my boss was, you know, was 10 years ahead, but I just called him the geek, the generation ahead, because he's still a geek, but he just got to do stuff like, you know, when Star Wars came out of the theater, and got the first home computer ever, and he's like, I don't know why my parents bought a computer, but they did, and I loved it, because he played all the games on it. So, you know, he just was a generation ahead, so it wasn't so bad. But now there's nobody to talk geeky stuff with. Well, maybe Mike. He's geeky, but he's like original Star Trek geeky.
Just say that's the advantage of working in a tech support office, is defaultly it's full of geeks.
Yeah, the geek ratio is much higher.
There's a few geeks at my work, but not the same.
You're all rock geeks.
Pretty much.
You're science geeks. You geek out about science.
Yeah, there's one guy that plays D&D. I have yet to convince him to play 4th edition, though. Working on it.
Oh, is he stuck in...
Second. Okay. He likes 2nd edition.
I played 2nd edition. I was very grateful when I was starting to play 3rd edition.
Oh, he really likes Neverwinter Nights, which is 3rd edition, essentially.
Essentially. I know some people, they love their Thaco.
I do not like
it. It's backwards. It's like totally backwards of any way that you could logically think of setting something up like that.
Well, apparently somebody figured out that's how it should work. Wasn't it you're supposed to get your armor to 0?
Well, as low as you can. You could even get it below 0.
Wasn't there some people that figured out if you were naked, you had the best armor possible?
No, it wouldn't work like that. Because, like, some of the armor things actually had, like, negative values that you added to your armor. Sort of.
Anyhow.
We digress.
It's easier to think of IM's numbers going up instead of down.
Yeah, it's much easier to think of I am improving and getting larger numbers.
Instead of I am improving and I'm in the negatives?
Yeah.
Anywho.
I feel bad. I haven't done much geeky things.
Anywho, I was talking about Sucker Punch and I got way distracted.
Yes.
Now, if you base going off this movie on critics and you're a geek, you are going to be sorely disappointed in yourself. Because I think yesterday when I looked, Rotten Tomatoes had it at like a 19%.
Oh!
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
The critics don't like it. Except the lady from the LA Times. She likes it. There's a few that like it, but the majority of the critics despise this movie.
Any general consensus as to why?
I don't remember. I didn't look through it too much. But when I went and saw it, first thing that I think that honest to God surprised me about the entire movie was that they didn't just throw a throwaway story in it. It actually has a purpose. I mean, not to spoil anything, so everything I'm going to say it literally happens before the title line, before it actually says what you're watching. You have a girl, they talk about, you know, guardian angels a little bit. Then you have the main character, Baby Doll, sitting there. Doctor comes in. She runs off and finds that her mother's just passed away. Her and her sister mourn. You look up, see fat, ugly man, assumed to be stepdad, assumed to be correct. And we're correct in that. He has a small smile creep up on his face. You can tell he's really torn up about his wife dying. Go to the funeral. They bury, he throws the dirt on, he throws the first, you know, shovel of dirt down. Then you go and he's looking at the will and just mentions everything going to her two daughters, not him. Well, this is the first time you actually see him angry because he just found out he's not getting anything. So he goes to try to sexually molest Baby Doll. She basically claws at him and basically injures his face. So he slams the door, locks it, and then goes to go attack her sister. So her sister runs into a closet, locks it, and then so he's there trying to break in. During this time, she climbs out the window, climbs down to the first floor because she's on the second, grabs a gun, and goes to shoot him. Misses him, kills her sister. And then instead of shooting him, she runs off and then they take her to the sanitarium. That's what happens before the credits, before the intro thing. So they get the why she's there, the what and why she's there, done immediately. So there's no time wasted on that. I liked that.
Quick 30-second montage.
Yeah, basically. It took about a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes. But it was done nicely. And you don't feel like you're missing anything. It's all clearly explained. And the cinematography done in this is really cool. For example, when she fires the gun, it kind of slow-mos, and you just see this light bulb that was in there shattering, and then she goes and finds out what she actually did. So, yeah. Cinematography is great. The soundtrack is awesome. If you go to the site and check out the review, I actually have a link to the soundtrack in the review itself.
I need to get the Tron one still.
And then let's see. And then, he's not a main character, but Glenn Scott's. I think he kind of helps really tie everything together between the different vistas that they go to in this movie. Which, the reason why they have them going to, the way they're, you know, like, on a battlefield fighting clockwork steam-powered Nazis, makes sense, actually. The purpose for it is actually there and is understandable. So, yeah, anywho, check it out. I think, especially as a geek, you would be doing yourself a disservice not to see it.
I didn't even know it was there until I saw a commercial the other night. I forget even what I was watching. We were like, did we just see what we thought we saw? I don't think you were here. No. You were in New Zealand.
We'll show you a trailer of it here in a little bit once we're done. Because I also have a link to their website in the thing. Because somebody did little animation videos explaining stuff about the different worlds. And yeah, you kind of feel sorry about the people that they're destroying in these vestiges. Anywho, so you guys got anything else you'd like to throw in?
No, it was a very lackluster geek 2 weeks, mostly due to sickness.
Okay, well,
being busy.
I'm slowly redoing all the images for the T-shirts, so those are going to slowly be changing from the screen prints or whatever they're called, the like iron-on kind of images that I'm currently kind of using. To actual, what is that actually called, screen printing?
Silk screen.
They're going to go to actual silk screening.
They're a lot more durable as silk screens.
They're more durable, and you can put it on more stuff. I just need to figure out a way to make the images small enough, because there's a size limit. If an element is too close to one another or too small, they can't do it, so then I have to increase the image, which makes it so it won't go on other products.
Which ones they are.
Actually, I know how to do it. I know how to fix it, but I need to talk to you about that later. Anywho, so go ahead and visit our website, www.thegameslave.com. You can send us comments and questions to mail@thegameslave.com, or you can actually comment directly on the site. It's a convenient feature, and you don't even need to register to comment. You can just comment. If it's spam, I'll delete it. But if it's actual comments, I'll leave it. Even if it's negative comments, I'll leave it. I just don't leave spam because I view that to be a crime against nature. Advertising is different. Advertising on a site I don't view as spam, but sending an email or just, you know, comments that are just random crap, I view that as spam. You should know the difference. If you've been on the internet long enough, you know the difference.
This rant brought to you by the letter S.
R.
No, S. Spam.
Oh, it's an R rant.
Anywho, have a great week. Game on.
Game on.
Game on.